Hello, and welcome to the Podcast of Steel. Here, I share news, reviews, my adventures, interviews, and more. You can always expect some Superman content from this show, but I'm a lover of all things geeky, so you never know what you're going to get. Now, let's leap into action with a brand new episode of the Podcast of Steel.
Hello again. Luke Bug, the Geek of Steel here, and this is episode 11 of the Podcast of Steel. If you follow me online, which I'm sure many of you do, you will know that I am a big fan of the Flash film. I've enjoyed the build-up of hype and excitement, and the Flash Film News website has helped with that journey. They've been providing up-to-date, accurate information about the film, about the story, about everything to do with this movie. This is a fan page. This is how it started off. They are fans of the franchise, and over the months they have created a following. They've been providing such entertaining and, as I said, accurate information that they have become a trustworthy news source. And I was honored that they agreed to be a guest on the Podcast of Steel, because I had so much to ask them. And we had a fantastic time talking about how one starts a page such as this, and the trials and tribulations of what goes along with it. Not only that, but we talked about the film, and the good parts and the bad parts. And for me, it was a fantastic conversation, and I can't wait to have more like this in the future. So, without further ado, here is episode 11 of the Podcast of Steel, with my special guest, the Flash Film News. Well, the time has come for me to sit down and speak with a fellow passionate fan from across the pond, and it is the editor-in-chief of the Flash Film News. Several social media accounts are run by this hero, providing accurate, up-to-date news that was building up to the release of the Flash movie and still continuing to give the internet news about the film and everything around it. So the Flash Film News, welcome to the Podcast of Steel, sir.
Thank you for having me, Luke. And this is actually the first time of appearing on a podcast under Flash Film.
Well, I am honored to be the one that interviews you. There will be no hard-hitting questions here. This is just going to be a fun chat for me to talk to you about the film and about your clearly it's a project of passion for you, bringing accurate news to thousands of Flash fans around the world, up-to-date news, accurate news, and honest news, which I'm a fan of. So yes, you are the editor-in-chief of the Flash Film News. We're going to go by the name of Cisco for you today, as we arranged beforehand, but please share your origin story with the listeners. How did you get to be to where you are today, sir?
Oh, it was a pretty funny story, to be honest, because originally it was just a group of my friends. We originally were doing a couple of online videos and promotions for Zack Snyder's Justice League, mainly focusing on the TikTok side. And a little bit on Twitter, because at the time there was a discussion as to whether the movement was mainly run by bots, and the measurements for that hashtag should be discredited. So we were doing some experiments and were able to push a certain hashtag to the millions within a few weeks of organic reach. Through that, once that film was released, we've always known there was a fraction within the DC community, whether it was with the Snyder fans or just DC fans in general, that there was no unity whatsoever. Everyone was against each other, whether it would be a portrayal of a certain character or who's playing what, which directors, and so forth. And there was really no community for just fans just to talk and just be excited for a film. without being attacked, because that was the one thing that we've noticed throughout Twitter.
Yes. Yes, so, of course.
The plan wasn't really to focus on Flash originally, but one of my buddies randomly one night sent me a direct message and told me, "Hey, there's this account, Flash Solo News. They're giving up, and they had roughly, I believe, it was like around 1,400 followers, and they were I followed that account for a couple of years, and they're really good at keeping updates on the Flash production. But I also noticed too with that account owner that he was dissatisfied what was going on with the actual film, especially some of the behind the scenes drama, and just everything in a whole. And he just wanted to out. And from there, when my buddy DM'd me, he said, like, "Hey, this is something, like, you know, maybe we can focus on, because we've known that with this film, there will be some sort of a connection to the DC films from the past with Snyder's work, and potentially will be a multiversal adventure." And so in some ways, this could be the opportunity to kind of, like, you know, bridge everyone together for an excitement on this film and just an excitement on DC altogether. So at that point, I reached out to the account owner. I introduced who I was, the work that we've done before, and just had to sell myself that I should be the owner of a Flash Solo News. No, I thought it was going to be book 1, 2, 3. No, we're talking about, like, this owner was passionate for the film and passionate for the character. And it was an interview process that spanned more than, I think it was like a week and a half of just going through questions back and forth. And finally, he came back and saying, like, "Hey, I'm comfortable giving this to you, but there's a caveat. I'm giving it to someone else as well."
Oh.
So he's bringing in someone that I don't even know, and he's from across the pond, that now we're going to co-own this account. And I'm thinking to myself, oh no, because within my group, like, you know, we kind of want to be private, and in some ways we're very protective too as well. And bringing in someone new,
of course,
they might get a little skittish. So I started talking to the new guy and just trying to get a feel from him. But my God, did the original owner picked two great people to run this account, because that kid from across the pond, who's now a great friend of mine, I have never met someone so passionate for the character, nor have I seen anyone have such a robust collection of the Flash comic books in my life, that I knew, hey, we're going to make something special. And I even sold them too, that with my team and with your knowledge, I think we can pull off something that no one's ever done before with a update account in the past couple of years. And from there, I remember, like, you know, we set up a video of it was the Flash running through Zack Snyder's Justice League, already making the run through the Speed Force with our logo, music, everything, saying, like, you know, "Hey, we got out of the Speed Force. This is now Flash film news." So we rebranded everything, everything new, exciting, and all that. And then nothing, because the film hasn't started, the cameras haven't started rolling. We were already 2 months early. We didn't know what the hell to do. Like, we had so much excitement. We're like, "Hey, we got this. Wait, we don't really have content. What are we going to do?" So the one thing that we said we weren't really going to do, like, with update accounts, we became, which was sharing fan art, sharing Flash Facts. Like, I remember doing Flash Facts on Fridays, or anything that we can find, and just have people just to have some interest within the account, because we didn't want to lose that follow base, because 1,400 is pretty good at that time, and we don't want to lose anything. And that kid, the original owner, worked his ass off for a couple of years just to keep that together. But we were at a loss. We're like, this is going to be a problem. up until once the camera started rolling in back in London and Glasgow, that's when the excitement started kicking in. But everyone, I'm talking about accounts left and right, like with some people we haven't even heard of, there was fights between what photos were being shared, videos, things were being taken down, and we're reviewing all this, and we're trying to figure out what's the angle, how can we differentiate ourselves from everyone. And I have a background in intellectual property. In fact, I have both a legal background on my personal life. So I'm looking at all this, and I'm noticing that the main issue was the actual photographers who were taking all these photos out there in London and also within Glasgow. And they were the ones who were doing the copyright strikes, arguing about, hey, where's my credit? Where's this and that? And I'm noticing, okay, instead of focusing on the actual film and the production, now everyone's just bickering who posted what first, and which image is mine. So I figure, like, hey, even if we're going to be late, if we're an hour late on posting something or a day late, I'm going to be reaching out to every photographer, every person that's out there personally. Introduce who we are and just strike a deal. Essentially, if any photos that they comes out, bring it to us. We will not only watermark it with our logo, we will put your name within the photo, give you all the credit as well. So in the event that if an image goes viral or if media reaches out, you will receive that. From there, all of a sudden, these photojournalists caught on what we were doing, and everything now was sort of filtering to our account. And from there, we started creating these relationships with these people that now got us in contact with crew members on the streets. So we now learned the production schedule, where everyone's going to be, what's going on, where's A production and B production. So we were being now strategic. We have an army across the pond. When I'm here on the East Coast, and I have a couple other members in the West Coast and in the Midwest of the United States, and also on the other side of the world. So now all of a sudden we're orchestrating this thing that again we didn't know what we're doing, but now people are entrusting us. With their work, and we ensured that everyone was accredited, and we were reached out by different publications, even the BBC at one point, regarding some of the images and videos. And of course, we would have loved to have our names or even have our Twitter page to be shown, because it's marketing after all.
Yes.
But
And
no, but in the end, I'm like, no, this is the person who took the shot. Here's his contact. This is the direct email. Reach out to them. And again, they received all that, but then whenever those images were shown, of course, our logo was there. So in the end, it always reciprocated back to us. So that was kind of like, the beginnings of the account of just befriending all these photo journalists, and then we started getting into discussions with just crew members, whether it was for lighting or sound, whomever was on the streets, just to know what was going on. And that actually helped us a lot further when Batgirl started filming, when we were running the Batgirl Film News account, because if it was happening in Glasgow, we knew everyone there already. So that's why we had some of the best shots and some of the first ones out there,
Yes.
including the first Keaton in the suit, which we
That
kind
was
of
it.
learned the yeah no we kind of learned the secrets behind trying to hide those type of shots, because Andy did the same thing with the Flash movie, that all of a sudden everyone was focused on it was the Batfleck Bat Cycle sequence going around to Glasgow. I found out that that was mainly B production. Andy wasn't there. He was at a place like I think it was called Crossroads or Cross something like a market that was
Yes.
I'm closer to London. So I'm wondering what the hell is he doing there? So of course, I go through TikTok, going through different social medias. I just zero pointing just that region to see what was going on that week. We were able to find Ezra Miller in the suit, but in the mocap, because they were
Oof,
secretly filming
yeah.
the scenes for him and Nora Allen right there. So that's how we got that too. So we kind of knew the deceptions of these directors. So we kept
Yeah.
that close to our chest.
And that was it. But I mean, you've over the months and over the years, you've provided some first images for sure, and exclusive images. But what, again, I admire that you've done is that, yes, there are so many fan sites out there for different fandoms, for different movies and franchises. It's the fact that you've acted with integrity throughout, giving the credit to the people that have taken these images, but also given up-to-date and accurate news, not just hearsay or gossip or rumor. There's so much rumor on the internet, as there always has been, and it's instant and it spreads quickly. But what I've loved about the Flash Film news is the fact that the news that we're getting, it doesn't spoil anything, but it gives us accurate and up-to-date news. And I've admired that. So how have you what were some of your biggest exclusives that you all got to share?
Some of the biggest ones, it was a lot of the ones I dealt with some of the pros with post-production, because around that time, that's when we were actually befriending certain members within that Flashlight community that shared us some information that helped us comb through a lot of the BS that was happening. Because with this film and with a majority of the DC films that had been coming out, there was always a doomsday scenario that, oh no, reshoots are happening. This is doomed to fail. What's going on with the extensions of the production? Why with these delays? So we're seeing a lot of these rumors are just taking hold because, quite frankly, clickbait, it brings traffic end of the day.
Oh yeah, no,
And
it's where the numbers are, sadly.
exactly, and we didn't want to see that because from following especially this production, we knew it was one of the smoothest productions in the past couple of years under the DC name. And from there, we were one of the first to showcase that not only a production was done, the biggest one that we had was that the film was complete at the time. And like there's a big caveat for that, and that I think it was around October, November, before when they decided to change the ending. I remember we were the ones who mentioned that it was locked. So once a film is locked, all that's needed is VFX work, sound editing, and color correction. But the edit itself, nothing's going to be added in whatsoever. But within these big tentpoles, sometimes they're allowed to add something because there is a monetary value behind it. But if you're a smaller film, once you're locked, you're locked. You can't go back into the reels. So that was something that was big, especially for us. I'm trying to think because there was a couple of exclusives that we've had, but it's mainly towards the sensitive issues that was happening with Ezra Miller. Because
Yes.
during that time too, there was a fortunate events that happened in Hawaii and even here in the States. We were it. It took time for us to make a decision as a group as to how to handle this news. So,
Yes, of course.
because again, it's a huge sensitive topic, but then also we were tipped off prior to the events in Hawaii that something was going on personally with the actor. And so we kind of knew something was going may happen. But we didn't predict it was going to be this a series of events. And from there, we decided as a group that we're not going to hide this. Yes, we were very protective of this film, and we still are to this day after the release. But also, it's we have to be fair to our fans just to tell them exactly what is going on with the situation because, quite frankly, even though Ezra was going through something, people were affected from it negatively. And as a group, the decision was that we will report this, but without an angle. We will try to break down everything because, again, I like to, I always have to talk up with my members. Within our group who run this account, and each of us have a certain background, whether it's journalism, legal, you can say it. So we were pretty prepared as to how to break down certain aspects of whether if a restraining order came about and why was it dismissed. Of course, people would stray to the negative, but then I would come in and break down the points as to why this happened. And from there, it. Yeah, sorry, it's a little tough, but
No, but
through that
but
time,
you've
too, we know through that time, we actually did had a direct contact with Ezra and Scamp, too. So it did help us with the narrative. As to how to fairly
but you and
report
again, but
everything.
you did, but that's it. You reported everything. You didn't decide to hide things or put things or coat things in a certain way. You were very honest with the fans of the franchise, fans of Ezra, fans of DC Comics and movies. And that's what I've appreciated again throughout is that the goods and the bad side of social media are always going to be out there. But once you get some insight from the inside, as it were, with honest and accurate news, it's you get to understand the topics more. And I've been a fan of that since day one when I've first started seeing your tweets and everybody else's tweets start building up traffic, and then the excitement for the film, and then the excitement for the trailer, and then the excitement for the promotion to start beginning. So this isn't a full-time job for you. This is, you know, this is a hobby, as it were. This is passion for you, which is what I admire.
Oh, I don't know about calling it a hobby. It kind of turned to a full-time job at one point.
It does. It does take over one's life, but
Yeah.
if you're
Oh, it
enjoying the
did.
work, you're enjoying the work, so it doesn't always you know, it makes you push yourself harder to keep your fan base entertained and to build more of a fan base. And I've seen your numbers slowly progress over and over the years, so you're doing something right. But for you, what does it mean, and the rest of your Flash army, as it were, what does it mean to be this fan site, to be giving up to date and accurate news? What does that mean to you?
Oh, that's a tough question. It's just what it means to us mainly the model for the actual account and all of our accounts is just mainly the it was mainly the protection of the characters. It for us it didn't matter who was portraying what or who was attached to what a production because at the end of the day what was important was the actual character itself, because the character with the Flash or any DC character that's out there, it doesn't matter who's under the cowl, who's the next Batman, who's in fact the next Superman, and I'm excited what's going on there. But
Yes.
the legacy of the character surpasses on who's portraying, and a lot of people were forgetting that within that. And for us, that was what was most important, and. Through that, it was a decision from us to not even engage with any of the toxicity. I know that's a loaded word to say, but just anything, any negative connotations, whether it's thrown at us, you could go through all of our posts, every comment that we have. It's people cursing us out. Whether we're defending Ezra or we're a AstroTurf account that's hired by DC. In fact, we're Warner Brothers employees, whether we're interns or the actual marketing group. Doesn't matter. But
no.
For us, we've learned that instead of engaging in that negativity or even blocking, why give oxygen to that negativity and actually focus on the characters themselves and focus on what fans are excited about.
Exactly.
And
yes,
that's why, that's why we move forward within that. And that's was mainly the key to our success the past couple of years. So we never got into any disputes or quarrels. I know we've had a couple of quirks with some accounts or even some YouTube personalities stealing her name at one point. But we let it happen. We let it slide to the point where we even actually reached out to them, and we've had discussions, and now we're good with those people. Because why focus on that when end of the day you got people who are just excited for where the character is going to go, and to me especially with DC, it's close to my heart, and I just don't. I hate seeing this divisiveness that's been going on, and it still continues.
It's one of those things where, you know, sometimes you're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes you want to address certain people that are in your comments, or some certain groups that want to cause negativity and you know, increase the flames, as it were. But
exactly, and it's not even exclusive to certain groups within DC or even within the DC communities. So you look at Star Wars and Marvel; they have their own issues as well. So this is not exclusive within DC.
No, this but, and again,
but of course,
this...
yeah, no, but of course, it's right now the focus has been on the uphill battle with the studio. And the IP.
Yes, and I mean, I love that. And I mean, I'm always going to be a Superman fan first, and then support anything else that comes along with it. Yes, I'm a fan of the people that wear the cape. I'm going to support what they do, but I'm going to support the next person that comes along, like David, like everybody else that is coming on in the future. And that doesn't always go down too well on the internet, as you've seen from your pages, is that someone's not always going to be happy with the outcome. And that's the thing with the internet, some private accounts and some anonymous accounts will be loud, but I like the fact that you choose to acknowledge them, and by not giving them a voice back, it sort of nulls the situation. But what I really admire is that you do reply to those people that are asking genuine questions, that are passionate about the brand, that are excited for the movie and want to build the hype, because that's what you've been doing. You're not, as you said, you're not part of the marketing. This is nothing to do with the marketing team. This is all of your baby, as it were. And so you want to see the film do well, but you want the people that are excited for the film to continue to be excited, and you don't want them to see the bad sides of the internet, as it were.
No, but it's something you can never avoid. It's always going to happen. It doesn't matter where your account is, whether it's that Elon's baby or Instagram. It's always going to follow you. And I know everyone's moving towards a blue sky. It's going to happen. It's going to happen there too. So you're going to see us. We're normally still be with Twitter for the most part.
I've been looking into that today and yesterday after all the issues that's been going on with Twitter over the last 48 hours. It has
let's not forget, 6 months ago, everyone was supposed to jump ship to
they were.
Hammock.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, the app is still running. Just
still running. There's always options. I'm still waiting for that MySpace to come back. You know, that's going to start making a leap at some point. But let's
God, I missed that.
I miss the top friends. I miss the music you could have on your screen as you loaded your screen. But anyway, I'm digressing. I'm going to
Luke, you know you're aging us right now.
It's like they can see it. The grays in the beard. Don't worry about it, dude. But exactly. let's get back to the film. The film is out now. There's been some controversy behind it. It's going to be released on digital soon. But all your work did the job, I feel. It made me constantly excited for the film. And I can remember on my first few adventures to London when I was helping Warner Brothers UK promote its release, I was able to share a few behind the scenes things with you and news. And I felt honored to sort of say, look, I'm going to be in London. If I can help promote the movie through your page, I would be honored. And you did share a few of my posts, and I felt honored to be a small cog in the big machine that is the Flash Film News.
And we're honored too that you reached out to us as well.
It's something I saw what you were doing, and I liked what you were doing, and how you did it. That was it. I mean, it's I've reached out to fan pages before and other sort of branded companies say, look, I'm reporting from this event. Can I sort of help out at the same time? And some people are like, well, yes, but we need you to do this for us. We need our brand to be on things. We need to do this. We need to do that. And I was like, well, I want to help out, but I don't also want to, you know, I want this to be fun for me as well. This is what I do for enjoyment. This isn't, again, paid work. This is my passion for being positive about the things that I love. So when I reached out to all of you guys, said, look, I'm going to be in London. I'm going to be at these events. There could be exciting things there, like the Batmobile going to be there, or there's going to be people in cosplay. I wanted to share that.
You know, I am really jealous that you're next to the King Battle.
That
car is near and dear to my heart. That's one of the top three movie vehicles for me.
It is an absolute beast.
We'll have to handcuff me because I will take it.
Well, just by chance, I was at the my local Portsmouth Comic Con, and by chance they arranged last minute to have the Keaton Batmobile, a replica, arrive, and I was like, well, you just made this event even more exciting for me, and I didn't get to go in it, but I got to see it arrive first thing in the morning. The event didn't start till 10, and I arrived pretty much, I think, like about 7:30 to get ready to get behind the scenes. And I saw that Batmobile just come off this trailer and then actually see the engine at the back, the flames come out of it, feel the heat feel that noise of the engine revving up. And then as I looked into the actual car, I think he was about 9 or 10, the kid that was driving it, because it was his granddad's car. He turns out he's got a garage somewhere with all these movie and TV replica cars in. And I was like, why is there a child driving this Batmobile? But then that sort of just went away, and I was like, okay, I'm standing next to the Batmobile. This is Keaton's Batmobile. This was crazy. So hopefully at some point in your life, I hope you get the moment to be in its presence, because it's intimidating, to say the least.
I can imagine.
But a beautiful car. Beautiful car.
Legendary car. To this day, there has not been a Batmobile that's been closer to that iconic status. So.
No, I mean, there's been one. They've looked interesting. I'm not going to kick them off.
I'm with you. I love the Batmobile, even the new one, Pattinson. Even though it's a sports car, I love the design of it. The sound of that vehicle. Especially when the engines are revving, I'm like, okay, this car, yeah, it may not look like the Keatons or as intimidating as Batflix, but yeah, it was alive.
Yeah, it's not sort of a tumbler.
It was the one that was alive. It felt like a beast.
Mm-hmm. No, and that was and to see that there and be up close.
I have a love hate relationship with the tumbler.
So that's more of a tank than a Batmobile, but yeah, Keaton's Batmobile there, and then that came to London as well, because Warner Brothers over the years they've they're progressing Warner Brothers UK with how they promote movies and how they try different things. But this year they got some cosplayers and some and the Batmobile at the event.
I really enjoyed what WB UK did for the marketing.
This was completely new for them. I mean, they've done some exciting things
in the States. It was completely. But what happened here in the marketing in the States, or in fact globally, they spent the money, and you can tell it was very disappointing, especially the decisions that were made, which quite frankly I believe was one of the main factors against the film.
Yeah, it's one of those films that I think is going to be talked about for years to come, but. The experience that I had with the build up towards it and getting lost in stories that I've not read for years about the Flash and getting back into the world of the Flash comics before the film came out, it made me more excited. And then of course we saw more trailers and more footage was being released. And I was like, right, we've been waiting for this film for so long and now we're so close to finally seeing it. And
I know there was a point where we didn't know it was going to even happen.
And
production hell for 9 years. Yeah. Like, we didn't even know we were going to see it. And
but we did in the end. Finally, it did. And I enjoyed it every single time I've seen it. I'm up to viewing number 4 now. I've seen it 4 times. And
wow,
it's so when I can go to the cinema. And just relax and escape and enjoy a film. That's my happy place. That is my calm. That is my life away from computer screens and work life and personal life. I can just go and relax. And that's what I got from that film, even though I didn't relax too much because it was a full-on, loud and exciting movie. I enjoyed it each time. And the people that I was with and the theaters that I was in were laughing and cheering and enjoying the moment. So I'm confused as possibly you are with the way that it's been handled in the theaters across the world. It's been such a bizarre situation.
No, I'm with you because I've seen it 3 times. One was one of those screenings that they were giving out tickets to everyone and their grandmother. And saw it twice in theaters thereafter. And every time, like, the audience was engaged because you can tell whether a movie works or not. And sometimes jokes may land or it'll land flat or, like, you know, a sequence. You might be looking at your watch or you're like, yeah, this might be the time where I'm just going to step up and go outside. I didn't see anyone do any of that. Like, there was cheers. Yeah. A majority of the jokes surprisingly landed. It was a surprisingly comedic movie, to be quite frank, and not one of those cheesy ones that you would get that's a run through a cog machine that you receive from Marvel. That's nothing against it with those films, because within their library, there's a lot of what Marvel's done that I cherish. But also, you know what you're getting, and it's there's a lot of repetition with those quips.
Yeah.
But here, it felt very organic, what they were doing, and I enjoyed it. And the audience around me, and like I have, I'm trying to remember, there was this one gentleman that just kept on, older than me, that just kept on leaning forward from to the screen, and I'm thinking, is he seeing? Is there something wrong with the eyesight or what's going on? You can just see this grin on his face. All of a sudden, he's transported to being 10 years old watching this film. And it just perplexed me what's going on. And I know in my hearts of hearts that if this film was released in one of its original release dates, because originally it was even supposed to be, I think, released before even... Spider-Man No Way Home. And I know it would have done quite well then. But right now, there's so many factors against it. And there's not just one. I know there's people that will try to point it towards whether it was with Ezra Miller whether it was all the fan screenings that WB was giving out, or is this a superhero fatigue, or the new one, multiverse fatigue. Like, where did that help?
Yeah,
who pulled that one out?
Yeah.
The thing is, no one knows exactly what it is, but the reality is it was multiple factors against it. What it was is, going on, and yes. I have to. But at the end of the day, I have to applaud Warner Brothers to be courageous enough to move forward with this, because it was a well-made film for the fans for any decade of DC. And I know I'm stressing that, even though those special cameos was really like a 3-minute sequence. But really, altogether, it was one of the only complete DC films in the past a couple of years that's hit the screen that hit all the numbers. Like the last one that kind of like happened that everyone's talking about, mainly focusing on the DCEU, because the Batman was phenomenal, but and the Joker, but those are considered the outliers, the black labels. But within the DCEU, the only ones really with this type of excitement or just everyone enjoying themselves for me was Aquaman, and before that, Wonder Woman. Like that, to this day, like I haven't walked out of a theater like I did with Wonder Woman, and
that was just a different experience.
It was, and it's going to be very hard to match that. Mm. And hats off to Patty Jenkins, Gal Gadot, and our crew for pulling off that miracle. And in fact, every film that comes out, doesn't matter from where, it's a miracle in itself, completing and showing on screen, to be quite honest, with the amount of work that's done behind the scenes, once you really look into this process. That was something that was something for us that we've had a knowledge on these productions, especially some of our members, friends with VFX artists, PAs, even a couple directors. So this was like not really a new world, but now we've for the first time we're engulfed with an actual production from a beginning to end.
Yes,
and just seeing the work and the passion between the crew members, the director, the producers, everyone was quite eye-opening, and just to see the performance of this film, it's been heartbreaking, especially for everyone that's worked on it. Yeah, like I've spoken to crew members, I've spoken to editors, to even a couple of the actors, and you can tell that they were surprised from it, because they knew they had something, but they also knew that it wasn't a perfect film as well. But they're extremely disappointed with the discourse that's going on, whether it was whether it's the quality, the controversies, or even now dragging Andy across the coals. So because quite frankly, when you talk to when you talk to crew members, you can tell, like if you go watch any behind the scenes videos for any productions, like I just recently saw one for James Cameron, The Abyss, called The Abuse, and
wow.
Oh yeah, no, you can find it on YouTube, very very eye opening what happened, okay. There and Cameron, it's a genius, but also too, he warned everyone, "Welcome to my nightmare," when they got onto the set, and you can tell, like there are directors that will push you to the point to get that perfect shot, but sometimes they may forget that you're working with people,
yes. That human
but
element.
With the human element, but with Andy and Barbara, and also Disco.
Hmm.
Everyone who I've spoken with, they loved working on that set with them. It reminded me of working on a set with Zach, with Snyder, because every crew member there, it always said, it was a great time. It was a party, like with Zach. Like you would use him skateboarding around instead of Man of Steel.
Yes,
he was one of the few directors that knew the human element and knew that you have to keep everyone happy, especially with the separate production. And Andy was one of those as well. Very creative, always took everyone's inputs, and everyone had a joy. And just as seeing his name being dragged around, whether it was because of the choice of the VFX or now the PR talk, what people are calling the excuse of why certain things happened, and now is he now suited for Braving the Bold? I can say that certain members are now taking a step back, especially from social media, and want to focus on the other projects that they have moving forward. But they do not want the memories of the past couple of years to be tarnished.
And that's it. There's been so much footage shared online from behind the scenes of the directors and the producers and the whole crew acting like a family. And that you do work on these films for so long that you are going to create bonds and you are going to create friendships. And it's a shame, as you said, for all the people that have worked on this film and felt that all that hard work hasn't really paid off, as it were. But I've got a lot of love for this film and the people that have brought it to life, because each and every time that I've watched it and then will watch it again in the future, I will be smiling at certain scenes. I will be laughing at certain scenes. I'll probably shed some more tears at those scenes that were extremely emotional and heartfelt, because this film over the years, it's meant a lot to me. And for it to be treated this way, it's very, very bittersweet.
It is. And it is disheartening for those who are excited for the film, whether they're attached to because of certain actors or with the director, or they're just attached to the character itself. Whether it's Barry Allen or Wally West, doesn't matter. It's now it has this reputation moving forward that hopefully in a few years, whether it's in a year, 5 years from now, that people will start appreciating what was put on screen. Because right now, when at its release, it came at a time where it became a topic within the zeitgeist that it's an unfortunate circumstances that people were not truly focusing on the intent of what was put behind screen.
And I get that. I mean, it's the 10-year anniversary of Man of Steel this year, and when that first film when it came out. Mm-hmm. It had good reviews, it had bad reviews, but it's got almost a cult following now. The fact that so many fans have gone back and thought about it and gone back and enjoyed it again. And it's a film that, you know, it means so much to me. And I would have loved for it to have so much cinema and theatre success when it first came out. But the fact that it's still been...
I disagree with you. It was successful at that time when it came out. People keep on forgetting the numbers that came out for Man of Steel matched those of the first wave on Marvel.
Marvel,
look at Thor, Captain America. Those were relatively the same numbers. It's just, again, it was the timing within DC that all of a sudden now these comic films can hit the billion. And that's what they wanted with Man of Steel and with Batman versus Superman. They wanted to hit that magic number and not really focusing on the story itself and the characters. And now it became a reactionary studio. And that's why this experiment failed. And I'm sorry that I jumped on that tangent, but as you said, like there was an appreciation of a Man of Steel. It produced what it needed to do. At that moment, but of course it had its controversies that to this day are being discussed, and it boggles my mind for that,
does,
whether it was
yes.
a line from Jonathan Kent. That to me, I'm a father right now, and if my if I'm trying to protect my kid that's from another planet, and knowing that society is not will not accept or is not ready for who my child is, and there's a point that a secret may come out at the youngest of their age. I may not be able to protect my child. So, of course, that line for Jonathan just stating for the kids in the bus telling Clark, maybe.
Maybe.
I can relate at that point because that was at his most he was at his most emotional breaking point that he almost lost his son at that moment because his son was trying to strive to do good, and that's what he wanted his son to do. And and that film had those moments that Jonathan knew Clark would become something greater, but at that time too, as well, he didn't want to lose him.
No.
So that argument that keeps on going on that Jonathan line, it,
It always
for
comes and
me,
goes.
like now, it's just seeing it back, it's looking at my daughter, I would say the same thing, because that's the thing
That's,
about Man of Steel.
yeah.
It was something that it would happen here in the now, and it was not. A lot of these films are supposed to like take you out of reality. It will transport you away, but with the DC experiment, it was the world that's currently around us. The ugliness that it is, so it wasn't so much of a escapism that people were expecting. So, and I kind of think that that may have been one of the issues. But now it's been it, there's a slow appreciation throughout
Oh.
these years of people just now coming back to the film. So especially with BVS.
Yes,
Man versus Superman, whether it was the original or the
or the
alternate cut.
ultimate, that's it. They're all these films are, that's the thing. What I do love about them is the fact that they are always going to be talking points. They're always going to have passionate people talking about them, whether it's for or against. They, if a film is being talked about, it's done its job, I feel. Yes, we would
Exactly.
like these
That
films,
was the point. It's maybe it was not what you wanted to see,
but
but it left an impression in you to this day that it doesn't escape because
No.
it makes you ask the questions.
And I saw Man of Steel on the IMAX screen back in 2013 at Waterloo, and it was just an experience like no other. And that's where I got to see the Flash film one of the times again, was at the IMAX at Waterloo in London, which is the biggest cinema screen in the UK. And I felt every single piece of musical music. I felt every line. I felt every sound effect coming off that screen. And a part of me was left in that theater because I really, really enjoyed the experience. And I think I will each time I see that film, whether it be on a cinema screen or on a TV screen. And that's what you said. If a film leaves you feeling something, then it's done its job.
Well, the good or the bad.
That's it. And I mean, and who knows what's going to be coming in the future. The film will be coming out soon, and there's going to be probably more director's cuts and extended scenes and bonus features and all the good and all the bad that will come from it. But people will still continue talking about it and talking about the things that they love. And that's what I love talking with people like you about these things, because it's when we become passionate, is that when we a light flicks on inside us and we talk about these things. So you're always constantly busy with the Flash film news, but are there any other projects in the pipeline for you and your armies around the world?
Well, it's right now we're focusing on of course the Batman. So we do have the Batman film news that's been doing great
Yes.
the past year and a half that's been running. Also we're fo we've rebranded the Batgirl page to The Brave and the Bold, and we'll be focusing on of course Superman Legacy, but with the Flash page itself, we've been discussing, and we know that we've been stretched thin with all these accounts, and we're working on a rebrand moving forward. That we should be making an announcement in the next month or so.
Exciting.
That the page itself it's gonna be under a new name.
Okay.
And from there, we'll merge everything together, minus the Batman film news. I believe we're gonna keep that one separate, and we may keep another page separate too.
That's the thing. I'm already seeing Superman.
Truly,
Superman Legacy.
So truly, at the time. Mm-hmm.
There's so many sort of other fan sites
at the
popping
time
up.
When we were doing the pages. Exactly. Like originally, when we were doing these pages, keeping them separate, it was mainly SEO. So mainly, truly, it was SEO based tactic. But now, since everything gets, whether it's a soft reboot or a total reboot, whatever Gunn is doing, the main talking point now it's DC. So don't be surprised seeing a new all encompassing name. From us, and we're not going away because again we didn't expect this this positivity with our page, whether it was with the fans, with a production. Like, we've had people reach out to us thanking us what we're doing. I remember even with Batgirl Film News, I had Bilal, one of the directors, just telling us, like, "Hey, you're doing a damn good job, but please save some things for the screen." And I literally sent him a video telling him, like, "Hey, we've only shown 1%, and we're only going to show 1%. Here's what we've been holding back," and he was laughing.
And that's
what we had.
And that is what I love about that page and your passion for these projects is the fact that you want to be on the front line, giving up-to-date, accurate news as it happens, but you don't want to spoil it. You don't want to just sort of say, look, this is a picture of so-and-so on set.
Exactly. We know there are school... It's a tricky thing when it comes to now moving the topic towards, like, you know, the what's called the scoop game.
Yes.
There's a that was one of the things that we tried not to do. We don't want to be the scoopers. So, you know, even though we've had done a few posts that we would consider scoops, but we tried to, like, you know, try to keep it as vague as possible because we don't want to give too much details. Like, I remember one of our favorite exclusives was the Dark Flash, the suit itself, what it was made of. So we threw out, we knew exactly the sequence, how it happened, who it was. So we thought it would be cheeky of us to say that it was made out of Kryptonian material.
Yeah.
And as you watch the film, you see young Barry being covered with a shrapnel.
Yeah, little red herring there. That's good. That's
which kind of morph around him throughout. So we knew, like, you know, hey, we can play around like that. But if you're going to describe a full sequence, that's something that if you want to go that route, fine. But to us, like, to me personally, it's fine. Like, you know, once every blue moon, if there's a reason why you want to describe it, if you're just doing it for the clout, just to grow your page and kind of showcase, like, you know, hey, I have these type of content, context, but that's fine. Once every blue moon, not through the whole
constantly.
Film. But if you're going to do it just because it's something that you disagree with, that is a harm towards the character itself, I get it too. But if you're just going to do it, just to do it, just to keep on building clout, this clout, that this invisible thing that's surrounding us. So
It's
it's I'm sorry. It's if that's what you're gonna do, fine. But truly, it takes away from the magic of these films. So,
and
and
that's what I
luckily
love
for
about
me,
that.
like it's something that doesn't really, yeah, it's something that doesn't really affect me. Like I'm someone that I do try to like, you know, try to find just up of spoilers, kind of like know what's going on, and it's never affected me personally, just seeing the film. But I do know there are people out there that if they learn something about a film, a certain spoiler or a screen description, all of a sudden now they might be disinterested on the film as a whole, that they may not even go to the cinema and may wait for it to, when it comes out to video. And also once they see it, that perceived notion that they had from this description that's been out of context from the entirety of the film itself, all of a sudden it's not what they originally perceived. And right there you lost a audience. And
And
that's the thing that was happening with that was something that happened with the film
I was
too,
getting
because you
tagged
had.
and yeah, I was being tagged in so much stuff saying, does this scene really happen in the movie? And it was the baby shower scene, which was always going to be controversial. But
Oh,
somebody
yeah,
had gone
in
in.
fact, that was even the production going
No.
on in London. It was Baby Shark Productions at
And they
one
went,
point.
and the scene where, if you've not seen the film, go and see the film because you're going to enjoy it. But it was the part when he takes the baby out of the microwave.
Oh,
And
God.
somebody had gone and filmed it on a cell phone with dreadful quality and reversed it. So he was
Reversed
putting
it.
it. And I was, people were saying, does this scene really happen in the film? And I was like, saying, no, it doesn't. Firstly, it's filmed on a phone and it's been put in reverse with dreadful audio put over the top. It's taken completely out of context. And it's things like that when people start sharing them, when people get their own connotations and their own thoughts about the film, which is why, again, another reason why I've been loving what you've been doing, because you've been putting these rumors to bed, saying, no, this doesn't happen. This is what happens.
Exactly. But yeah, like
Enjoy
my
the
favorite
film.
one was with Wonder Woman. She was cut from the whole film. I'm like, no.
No.
I'm like, absolutely not. And even the scene that she was going to be at the end, here's a spoiler. The reason why we never reported that the Cavill and Gal Gadot scene at the end, that cut to that they filmed for a day. One of the two pickups that they did throughout the production, because spoiler, there was really no reshoots on the film other than the two ending. Fixing the endings twice because of different regimes. So that sequence was never inserted in any of the public or private screening cuts that they were testing. Every private screening that they had on the studio lot, whether it was for marketing, whether it was from domestic or international, that's how we learned a few things that was going on. It was always the original Keaton Sacha Kaye and Gal Gadot face on the bus. That was it. So that scene that was filmed that was ordered by Pam and DeLuca was mainly kind of it was a was considered a placeholder because if Black Adam was a success, then moving forward, they can now utilize that ending. So for it being said, it was cut. It was never considered. It was one of the options.
Options, that was
So
it.
yeah,
Always one of the options.
it was an option for them. Because at the end of the day, it was not going to really affect the future.
No.
What was going to move forward? Because if you had a Cavill in there, that was really the only thing. Because now you know that he's going to have a future moving forward, and it's unfortunate what happened with the handshake deal that he had. And to be honest, if he wants, he does have some illegal damages that he could seek. But that's another story to tell.
Oh,
But
that's a whole different podcast. That's a
it's
whole.
a oh, trust me, it is. But that was considered a option. So for to say, like, you know, they were cut, that was always a misnomer. And the Clooney scene, to be honest, that was a surprise to even learn it. When that came into our radar, I thought it was a fake.
So did I.
Really, I couldn't believe it. And then the person who broke it, when he did, and the person who did it, I'm like, at first, the person I'm speaking of, it's Saul Abdul. He was the one who broke the cattle scene for Black Adam. And for him to be very specific as to Clooney, I'm like, okay, I'm not going to dismiss this because I knew something was happening in January for a day. And now I'm scratching my head, why the hell are they going with this? Because to be honest, it made no sense. It goes back to the marketing of the film, especially with James Gunn's comments how this will open up into the new DCU.
Mm.
Because now you're adding confusion to the fans, wondering if this is going to be Batman for Brave and the Bold. That's not the case.
No.
So if that's not the case, then why are you throwing in the scene, especially it's you can tell it's a total reshoot that it took you out. Clearly looked great. I'm going to say that, but when you're looking at Ezra, on the other hand, he looked rough, especially the CGI tooth falling down. I'm like, that did not look right, and it affected the film as a whole. Because the original scene and even the option with Cavill and Godot appearing, because it was the same scene, it's just them in the background, truly. It actually tied the film together as a bow, because this hasn't been really discussed at all, and so we can call this spoiler exclusive, what have you. There was a point within there that our Barry Allen is mourning the death of young Barry and was affected from everything that happened.
Wow.
So then once he sees Keaton coming out of the car,
mm.
not only is he perplexed and confused because he thought that he fixed everything.
Yeah.
But now there's a sudden relief at the end that he didn't die. And of course, Sasha appearing as well. Mm. So there was like this moment of excitement just moving forward, because it kind of like, you know, it's kind of disheartening to think that King's final scene now within DC Universe dies on the battlefield and Sasha. But if you look in the whole multiverse, that's only just his multiverse variant. Within that, there's a Keaton in the 89 verse. There's a lot of confusion as to Barry went to the Keaton verse. No, it's still Barry's universe, but now you got the spaghetti strings mixed through. So that's why Keaton transported into there with his background. So technically, he's still there. He's still there.
He's still there.
For a general audience standpoint, you have to use the KISS method. Keep it simple, stupid.
Yes.
Everyone's walking out that he's gone. Mm. And Sasha is gone. And we're not going to see them again. So just seeing those two characters at the end of the film, now everyone's happy.
Yes.
And especially for just the character Barry himself, mourning young Barry and the decisions that were made. Now there's a new release in life. But then everything becomes a turmoil once Affleck reaches out to him for the ending post-credit scene. And we're moving towards a final crisis that they were trying to work on originally. But if they really wanted to treat this film as kind of like a one-off, they should have just gone with that original. Or the CinemaCon cut. Just Barry just wondering who the fuck is that? Pardon my French. Just
No. And fade to black. Just do that.
Just do that. And then abruptly, it adds more questions. But the good questions, instead of now everyone's confused as to Clooney and now the focus is on towards that, and now and then also all the poor decisions behind the marketing and just the post-production for the film, just the end product. Because quite frankly, regardless of the controversies that happened with Ezra and also the revolving door of directors, and I'm going to be the first one of the main proponents out there. I would love to read Rick Fukushima's script, especially just hearing what Chris Clemens mentioned recently in an article on her screen test. I would have liked to see what was that film. It's unfortunate that this is going to be the legacy, the poor decisions, and not the actual product. Because quite frankly, Warner Brothers didn't know what to do. It was back to how they've been running things since when Man of Steel came out, which is a reactionary studio. It's not the Warner Brothers of old, where they've pumped out temple after temple that you were excited. And this is one of the reasons why with The Flash that there was this excitement that was coming from this page that people try to blame us that we overhyped it. But to be quite honest, when we found out this was another one of our exclusives that they were doing a Super Bowl for this film, we were told that the trailer was coming out in February. They didn't give we weren't given the dates, but we were told that Warner Brothers was going to be doing something for the film that hasn't been done in I think it was like 15 to 16 years. So with that line, we knew it was Super Bowl. But when we threw it out there online, we kind of knew too as well that if we state that, like, hey, Super Bowl's gonna happen, and all of a sudden they would release a trailer maybe a few days before or something, people were gonna go, of course, we'll get attacked. So we just only mentioned that it was gonna be the
Something.
exclusive was it's coming out February, and then within 2 hours, Umberto Gonzalez, a good friend of ours, was the first to say Super Bowl. But the funny thing is, if you look at our photo that we posted, because we like to add Easter eggs to a lot of our infographics. If you zoom in, we've had the Super Bowl logo as a watermark behind Barry Allen. So, I joked with Umberto saying, like, hey, technically we were the first, but you're the first to say Super Bowl for that. But when we knew that they were doing Super Bowl, I'm thinking to my head to myself, okay. Is this now going to be Warner Brothers of old, where they actually are going to not only believe the project, but guide it in a way that will excite the general audience? And from there, after that first trailer, it was extremely exciting because it had a lot of buzz, and every trailer that came out, there was buzz. And even though there was a funny thing too, especially with Super Bowl, before that trailer even came out, like, we were known for our page, for our trailers that we're producing. And we were considered the unofficial marketing team for the Flash production.
Pretty
We actually had the trailer company reach out to us personally, stating that they were impressed with the Super Bowl cuts that we were doing. They were surprised that we knew what was going on, and we had a discussion over the phone for an hour on particularly for one of the trailers that we produced. And hats off to my editor who pulled that one together to begin with. That was a magical moment there. Asking, like, what was like an inspiration, the process, why did we choose certain things for it? And we were just so excited from that that now all of a sudden we're kind of being invited within this inner table to what was going on. And And again, it's just everything that happened after. I think it was like I think it was like the second trailer. Back now, everything that happened 2 months before the film, everything was going great. But then once Warner Bros. Started doing the full marketing, and that's when everything just fell flat for the decisions that was going on. And I don't know. I understand why certain things happened because again, it kind of comes down to the elephant in the room, and that is the controversies surrounding Ezra. But then also too, as well, you cannot alienate the general audience too because you have a product. And I was surprised to not even see magazine covers for The Flash. If the studio was afraid to have Ezra's face on a magazine cover, I'm sorry, you could just put on Empire magazine the Flash logo, just talking about this is the Big Flash premiere magazine, something. And then within centerfolds and stuff, you will have the promotional images that we've kept for over 2 years. We've seen them. We have the PNGs, and hell, we even released some of them and created our own posters behind it because we kind of knew what was going to be happening. So at least we were just doing that for the fans because we weren't afraid to promote. But there was that. But then also too, everything was online based, and it's not so much of the studio's fault. Especially what was going on with the writer's strike, because all of a sudden now you don't have the talk show circuit. And I know for a fact if the strike didn't happen or the strike was resolved within that time, you will have Keaton stopping production, taking a break from Beetlejuice, and just to be here in the States because that man loves doing a talk show circuit. Now, if you're going to force him to do a press junket for a day in Miami or wherever it is out there they're doing it for The Flash, he's not going to do it. Keaton's well known. It's very well known to be very travel adverse, and one of the reasons why Batgirl was delayed a couple of weeks because he did not want to travel to Glasgow at the time of due to COVID scares. Like, he's very particular, but for something like that, he would have been there. And so you had that, and then everything else, all the interviews, great interviews, by the way, with Andy Muschietti, Barbara Muschietti, and Sacha Kaye. Everything was online based. That everyone is going to be online for it. So it was a main focus of just the fans. And great, I get that. I get that wholeheartedly. You're going to have to the fans drive the traffic and convince the general audience, like, hey, we have something. But then all of a sudden, you're giving out free passes to go see this film on the screenings. Now, if they held just a handful of the screenings,
A
fine, but
few, yeah.
not it was like 3 full weeks of just free screenings before the film's release, to the point
Yeah.
where you have cities having these screenings happening day after day after day. Like, I know people personally that have seen the film 3 times for free and chose not to go watch the movie because they found out that the whole incompleteness of the film itself wasn't that it wasn't incomplete. They just didn't insert the Keaton, the Clooney scene and the Aquaman. And yeah, the VFX was brushed up a little bit, but as the film as a whole, it was what exactly what they watched 3 times.
Yeah.
So they stepped out from that. So that really hurt the whole situation. And also just the I'm sorry. It was overhyped, and it was overhyped too early. Had this hype happened a few weeks before, it would have been enough for the film just to get the legs that it needed to move forward with the first week. But everything happened too early, especially with CinemaCon. With CinemaCon, it was great, but they didn't ride the CinemaCon wave with other films such as Top Gun. They did it great. Ghostbusters Afterlife did it great. But with The Flash, the decisions that were made, it was they were just too fearful as to what would happen. Again, I get it. I get the fear. And after seeing some of the reviews that came out for the film, it turned into activist journalism, and that it was so much of a focus on the controversy than the actual film itself. And if you're going to be a film critic, you need to critique the film,
The film.
not everything that's happened outside of the film, because you will be you will you are a influential force for someone deciding to purchase tickets. And with the current global economy right now, people are being extremely choosy as to when they want to go to the cinemas, and that really hurt the situation. And now, just seeing the current status with Ezra, just recently in the news, people are realizing that there was some more to the story than what was being perceived through TMZ, with Rolling Stone, especially as well. That was being reported on. And in fact, you did ask what was one of our favorite exclusives, and the personal exclusive for us was we were kind of like the first to actually do journalism behind the controversies and actually pulled up a police report in the Santa Monica incident with the incident with Dakota Ironeyes and her family with an incident with a car. That for some reason, if you looked at all the statements that were said about what happened there, the story was different throughout. And when the report was pulled, all of a sudden, things that were mentioned in articles was never mentioned to the police, to the point where there was no mention of a knife being pulled. And it kind of showcased that there was something more behind it. That
Lots,
yes,
yeah,
they, yes,
quite a
things,
few
yeah,
things.
no, yes, like things did happen. Like we're not, it's not, there's not denying, but then also there were individuals that were using this as an opportunity just to gain financial gain behind it. And that was what's been unfortunate. And it was especially saying that it was an unfortunate thing happening with Ezra. And I know a lot of people have asked why they didn't speak out, whether it was because of the studio or whether it was Ezra on the end, if you knew him know him personally. And I'm going to say that I don't. I know them personally, but I do know their friends that do. And they've always stated that they're the type of person that will not engage in those type of rumor baits, and will allow a story just to move forward to the point where it will lose its steam and the truth will come out. And that's the unfortunate thing here, because it's taken so long for at least one portion of the story to come out that it was not what was previously reported.
See, and that's what
So yeah.
it's things like
And
that. It's all that the honesty and all the information being available to look into yourself to find out everything that's been going on. That's what you've been even just recently over the last few days. You've been sharing those some of those reports and some of Ezra's statements, and
yeah, and
I.
there's things too that we know that I know that I've been privy to that I cannot release. And I have and I will respect those wishes, because if it was if we were able to do so, a lot of this could have ended a long time ago. But
And
luckily,
that's.
a lot of people have caught on to this. But of course, it comes down to it's conspiratorial, or these are just mega fans trying to protect a individual. And we're seeing this now with Jonathan Majors as well. And I'm hoping for the best for him and for everyone who's affected from it, because it's a dirty game that's going on just to gain the public opinion before actually getting a legal verdict. Because
Yes.
at end of the game is I'm sorry, it's innocent until proven guilty. And if you're going to use the public perception of the jury themselves, you're not going to win. And even with his case too, with his lawyers making statements early on, though I'm not going to be in an opinion as to what side I'm going to be for him. I'm truly hoping for the best for the outcome,
Yes.
but for something like that, you within my experience, especially within my studies, it's something that you should not do, because if you want to win in this type of public discourse, you need to have the other side to load everything within the revolver until there's nothing left to shoot, until now you can actually start stating your narrative, because now you can finally punch holes into everything. But with that statement, all of a sudden something else that came right out, I think it was a couple of days later, which now made his camp look bad. And within that, now it's, I'm sorry, just going through, it's just a tangent. It's truly up to these journalists that are within this genre
Yeah, there's a
to make
responsibility.
that to have the responsibility to either do this as activism or actually report with a unbiased basis and report on the facts, because end of the day, you will affect more
Outcome.
than the person that you're targeting. It's gonna have a reverberating outcome, and that's what happened, especially with the Flash film,
Exactly.
that
In a
you
way,
had,
it's those ripples. It's the ripples in time.
exactly to the point where you even had social media influencers that actually reached out to our account apologizing
Wow.
on what they on things that they stated in the past, because they leaned on to these stories without taking a step back and seeing what it is that they're stating. Even though if that's their opinion, everyone has a right to their opinion, to speak
Of course.
their truth of truths. But then also too, you do have a responsibility if you are a influential individual, because there might be a negative connotation to it, because many of them actually wanted the film to succeed. But then they've realized too that they may have been one of the reasons why people were
Didn't go.
disinterested within it, because they fell onto these headlines. Because again, you want to be the first to state something. You want to be you want a trend. You want to state that an individual is going is running around as a felon, when truly, if you look at the actual charge, the person can be charged up to 23 years to be put in jail, hence why it's
Yeah.
a felony burglary. But the person could have a year or probation, which we did see. But the key trigger word was felony, so you
That's
have
it.
that running around, and it's the irresponsibility of those with that influence doing that. It's
That's
unfortunate that it's unfortunate it happened here, and it's unfortunate it's still happening moving
it
forward,
is.
whether it's Jonathan Majors or whomever.
Or anything else, but that's what again. I'll go back to that as well. It's what you've provided with the Flash film news from day one. It's that complete transparency, but also the determination to deliver up to date, accurate news about the film and the people that are attached to this film. So that's again what I know that I've been very thankful for to see, to be a part of. And that you haven't changed your core mentality throughout is that you're clearly passionate about these characters, first of all. You're passionate about this film and that you've wanted it to do well from day one. And you continue to do that, even though the film's, you know, pretty much run its course now, you're still promoting it and you will do in the future. So I'm very, very thankful for you and for this time today. I'm pretty sure that you're going to be back on this show in the future talking about other projects, because I know you've got things planned. But what things are you looking forward to in the future when it comes to the world of DC?
Well, I am excited for the new Blue Beetle.
Yes.
That's coming out in a couple of months. So it's exciting. But truly, I'm just excited what's the new plan moving forward, because it looks as though that there is a plan. Whether people are going to agree upon it or not, but there's now this excitement back onto the DC brand for the first time in a long time.
So long.
I'm hoping that it stays the course for it. So with Superman Legacy, first and foremost, just congratulations to those for new Lois and Clark. Best of luck to them, because it's going to be a journey throughout. They have big boots to fill for it,
and that's it.
But
never.
It's exciting.
It's always exciting.
But I'm just hoping that they truly keep to what it is that they have planned. I just wish for Warner Brothers as a whole, even though they have changed God knows how many regimes now, to not be reactionary. If you believe in the product, because you put in the tens of millions behind a project and behind a vision.
Yes.
See through it, because if it starts off not what you expect, the end goal in the end should always be there, because the audience will follow suit. That's what should have happened years ago from Man of Steel moving forward, because you had the excitement after Zack Snyder's Justice League when that came out, that okay, there was a concrete plan. And people were excited. And to be honest, they've tried doing reboots before within that universe, but they could never get out of that style that was introduced. Because there was an attachment to it. But if whatever it is that's going to come before us in a few years, soft, full reboot, doesn't matter. You got to see through it. So
they're going to see it through.
Yeah, no, it's best of luck to Gunn. Peter Safran and
everyone,
and Zaslav, everyone involved. Filmmaking is a miracle in and of itself for it to hit the silver screen, and you need to believe in the project, because it's in the end. This is for the fans,
and that's what I'm looking forward to. It's for the fans of it, but also looking forward to seeing what how you report from these films in the future, because I know you're going to be going ahead and doing more in the future, because the film industry need more people like you and your army promoting films like this, because you are making more and more people excited. So thank you.
It's funny they say an army. I've never had that imagination before, but. to be honest, thank you. Again, we didn't expect this. We thought we would have an account like maybe 8,000 followers, or just something fun to do for the fans as a hobby. But then all of a sudden it became this behemoth. We touched on to something that hasn't been touched on before. And we hope to keep moving forward with it. And I'm I'm thankful for you for inviting us, and
no, because
we'll love to come back.
I'm looking forward to see what you do in this, because you're going to be doing more stuff. You'll be doing more stuff in the future. So yes, you're almost. I'm just looking then on my phone. You're almost at 65,000 on Elon's baby, but we'll see how that goes in the next couple of days. But
yeah, no, one page. If you look at all of them together, I think we're like at 100-something.
100.
It's insane. So yeah, it's really insane. What happened?
Where can people find you, though? If they're not following the Flash Film News, where can they stay up to date with where you are?
You can find us on Twitter at The Batman Film News, The Batman Film, and also on Instagram at The Flash Film News. But we will be doing an announcement in the coming months to see exactly what it is that we will put out, whether... we're going to combine all the pages. Maybe it might be two pages on Twitter, and maybe a possible site forward. Because
I'm excited about that. Because when that happens, and you're ready to talk about it, we'll get you back on so we can really
thank you.
Help you get, because it's going to be fun.
And thank you for reaching out from the very beginning, because I've been following your page for quite a while, and you have something special too.
Thank you.
And that's why when you asked for that help, I'm like, look, I don't care if you use our name or anything. Just like, you're having a great time, and how you've been treating your fans too. It's something that you don't see a lot, because it's you're doing something that's extremely genuine, especially just... You sent over to me a comic book. One I kind of do have to begin with. You didn't have to do that. From across the pond. There's not a lot of people who does that, especially with a note, too, as well, that I have on my wall.
I love that. I'm a big fan of notes and post-it notes. So.
This is this is how it should be moving forward. It's great having collaborations. It's not so much that you need to be a silo, but you have to be the one. Yeah. The one name on what's going on, whether it's DC, Marvel, Star Wars, doesn't matter. No. Because end of the day, the main goal is the protection of the IP, the characters, and more so with the fans. And a lot of people have lost sight of that, but you're one of the few that hasn't.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I appreciate your time today. I knew this podcast was going to be a fun chat, and it is exactly that. And I can't wait to share it out. So, yes, I will leave all the links to your social media sites down below. And I cannot wait to see what you do in the future, because the amount of passion and positivity that you have for this brand and for everything else you've done, I'm looking forward to see how you share that out in the future. So thank you so much for your time today. I'll speak
to you
soon.
Thank you so much, Luke.
And you'll be back on the show soon as well. Okay.
Okay.
Take care.
Take care.
Well, that was episode 11. The Flash Film News, thank you so much for being a guest on this show, talking about how hard you work to bring up-to-date and accurate news to the masses. It's appreciated, not just by me, but I know by so many other Flash fans around the world. I look forward to seeing what you release in the upcoming months. You've got that secret little project that you're working on, and I can't wait to find out more. And I'm just interested to see how you tackle the world of DC films in the future. It's always an honor to speak with people that are passionate and they talk so well about the things that they love and adore. So thank you for being a fantastic guest. All the social media links for the Flash Film News websites are down below. Please follow them, because you are going to see some exciting updates from them in the future. I've been your host, Luke Berg, the Geek of Steel. You can find more episodes, just search for the Podcast of Steel and search for me, Luke Berg, the Geek of Steel, and you will see my little face pop up. I am a lover of Superman and all things geeky, and I love this little project of passion that is me talking about the things that make us smile. Please leave a review, like, comment, subscribe, share, all that fun stuff. and I'll be back very soon with a brand new episode of the Podcast of Steel.